Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Sakar Healthcare Limited Q3 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by MUFG Intime. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nikunj Seth from MUFG Intime. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Nikunj.
Thank you, Shubham. Welcome to Sakar Healthcare Q3 FY26 earnings call. Today on the call, we have Mr. Bikramjit Ghosh, Vice President, Strategy and Business Development, Mr. Dharmesh Thakkar, CFO, Mr. Bharat Soni, Company Secretary, and Ms. Pushpa Poonamani, Manager. Before we proceed with the call, I would like to give a small disclaimer that the call may contain certain forward-looking statements which are based on the business opinions and expectations of the company as of today. A detailed disclaimer has been given in the company's investor presentation, which was uploaded on the stock exchange. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Ms. Pushpa. Over to you.
Good morning, everyone. I welcome all our shareholders, investors, and analysts to the earnings call for Sakar Healthcare Limited for the quarter and nine months ended 31st December 2025. Quarter three has been a defining quarter for Sakar Healthcare, marked by a strong operational momentum, deeper global integration of our oncology business, and broad-based growth across all major performance metrics. I am happy to share the financial and operational progress for the quarter, along with strategic updates and our outlook for the coming periods. Let me begin by sharing the operational highlights for quarter three FY26. During this quarter, our oncology vertical continues to demonstrate strong traction. The EU GMP-approved oncology facility at Bhadla has begun to gain significant strategic relevance globally, with partners across Europe and emerging markets increasingly relying on Sakar for both regulated supply and dossier-linked launches. One of the most notable developments of this quarter has been the approval of our oncology facility as a manufacturing source for product supplies to the EU, marking a major milestone and validating our capability to serve stringent regulated markets. This is the only first of a series of oncology products expected to be commercialized through similar regulatory pathways. Our dossier progress has remained strong. Of 211 oncology dossiers shared globally, 102 dossiers have now been submitted across partner markets. Out of the 32 dossiers developed for oncology products, 21 have already been submitted and 11 have received marketing authorizations covering abiraterone, imatinib, tamoxifen, capecitabine, gemcitabine, carboplatin, irinotecan, and docetaxel across Europe and emerging markets. Our R&D teams continue to advance non-infringing patent formulations, differentiated oncology products, and partner-driven developments, which will strengthen the future revenue pipeline. Operational efficiency across our units, Bhadla Oncology and Changodar, cephalosporin, and general formulations, remained strong during the quarter, supported by higher export volumes and improved scale utilization. The continued shift towards high-margin own-brand exports, which now contribute over 70% of the revenue, has further enhanced profitability and strengthened Sakar's positioning in APAC, Latin America, Africa, CIS, and parts of Europe. Now, let me take you through the financial performance for quarter three and nine months FY26 as per our consolidated results. For quarter three FY26, Revenue from operations stood at rupees 7034 lakhs compared to rupees 4342 lakhs in Q3 FY25, reflecting a robust 62% year-on-year growth. EBITDA for quarter was rupees 1859 lakhs compared to rupees 117 lakhs in Q3 FY25, an increase of 58% year-on-year with EBITDA margins at 26%. Profit after tax stood at rupees 1025 lakhs compared to rupees 453 lakhs in Q3 FY25, delivering a strong 1-6% year-on-year growth supported by operating leverage and better product mix. Gross margins remained healthy at 49%, driven by improved efficiency and scale benefits across our oncology vertical. For 9 months ended FY26, revenue stood at rupees 1806.4 lakhs as against rupees 12734 lakhs in 9 months FY25, a 42% year-on-year increase. EBITDA for 9 months was rupees 4265 lakhs compared to rupees 3396 lakhs in 9 months FY25, an increase of 26% year-on-year. Profit after tax for 9 months FY26 was 1946 lakhs compared to rupees 1174 lakhs in 9 months FY25, reflecting a 66% year-on-year growth. Profit after tax margins improved meaningfully, supported by increased contribution from oncology products and disciplined cost management. The strong financial performance this quarter reflects the scalability of our integrated oncology operations and the growing acceptance of our high compliance manufacturing standards by global partners. Let me now touch upon the strategic progress. Our oncology-led transformation continues to accelerate. The quarter's approvals, dossier submissions, and partner development have reinforced our global competitiveness in complex generics and high-potency APIs. The Bawla Oncology Facility remains our biggest differentiator with integrated API and FDF capabilities, world-class containment systems, EU GMP certification, and the ability to handle oral liquids, capsules, injectables, and lyophilized products under one roof. Our R&D and regulated teams are currently working on multiple liposomal, HME-based, and differentiated oncology formulations that will further strengthen our presence in regulated markets and support high-margin growth. Across our CDMO and CMO engagements, we continue to receive strong interest from Indian and multinational players for oncology, cephalosporin, and general formulations, ensuring sustained recurring revenues and long-term visibility. We remain fully committed to sustainable and green manufacturing practices supported by flow chemistry, zero discharge systems, and energy-efficient infrastructure across the facilities. Looking ahead, we expect the momentum achieved in Q3 to continue into the coming quarters. We believe that our integrated oncology capabilities, strong regulatory foundation, growing global approvals, and expanding partnerships, SAKA Healthcare is well positioned to deliver sustainable long-term value creation. Before I conclude, I would like to thank our Managing Director, Mr. Sanjay Shah, our management team, our dedicated employees, and our partners across the world for their continued commitment and contribution. I also extend my gratitude to all the shareholders and analysts for your support and trust in SAKA's journey. Thank you for your time. We will now open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. In order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please restrict your questions to two per participant. For more questions, please rejoin the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a very good set of numbers. So the first question was on, you know, the oncology revenues for quarter three and for 9 months. If you can, you know, share that, and out of that, how much were for the domestic markets and for exports and EU, if you can talk about it a bit.
So the quarter three turnover for the oncology business in all was 31 crores, out of which 19 crores was exports, and majority is of it was towards the EU, and the domestic was around 12 crores. And if I say for the nine months, the turnover for the oncology business has been 69.45 crores, of which 30.81 crores is exports, and rest 8.62 crores is the domestic sales.
Okay, so the exports is largely part of the deemed export is what we can say, like, you know, it's shipped to the local, to the Indian subsidiaries of the export companies to which they are in the, indirectly exported later on, right?
Yeah.
Sure. And secondly, you know, on the Intas relationship, so, you know, we have had Imatinib has recently got approval, the technical transfer has been done, and the EU, they've got the EU approval as well for the same. And I think Imatinib itself is a $200-$250 million kind of opportunity in the European market. So how much, you know, and in that Accord being the, you know, very big player in the European market. So if you can talk about how do you see this molecule performing for us, and, you know, how big can it become, and this is the first molecule which has got approval, which has completed the technical transfer and got approval from the authority. So how do you expect the follow-on, like how many molecules, like do you expect, when do you expect the rest of the nine molecules to get approval, and, you know, how should we see the scale-up happening?
Yeah. There are 10 molecules which are in the process of tech transfer, out of which, just to add on, we have already received for Imatinib. The second product has also been received for that, and we are expecting to receive another two within a couple of months' time. This is basically a very encouraging part from our end, because this molecule will directly go to the European market, as you rightly mentioned, and Accord being one of the major players with oncology products in those. Now, regarding the other six molecules which we have in the pipeline, another three molecules will be there, which we are expecting in the next quarter, and rest two maybe in the following quarter. So maybe in the following two quarters, we'll be clearing off all the tech transfer process and thereby starting up the commercials in the European market with these tech transfer products. And regarding the market potential, what you mentioned, around major chunk of the market, around 60-70% is dominated by Accord with these molecules. So, it depends upon what is the sale volume they are looking forward to in terms of their projection, but it is quite looking quite healthy at this juncture, considering the new financial coming in. So, we are very optimistic in looking forward to this business growth.
Sir, how to see the Intas related?
Sorry to interrupt, we request you to return to the question queue for the follow-up questions. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Avanish Vaman from Vaikarya. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question and congratulations for a good set of numbers. Because you did just a little bit clarity on the employee cost. We saw, of course, there's a YOY big increase, but there is also like a sequential increase from 8.3 crores to 9.9 crores. Where I mean, how should we think about that? How much is it expected to increase more? How many people are you adding? Or this 10 crore per quarter is more of a stable number now? Can you please throw some light on that?
So if we see it on quarter-to-quarter thing, compared to quarter two and quarter three, the employee cost in value terms remains the same. At around, employee cost has been at around 8 crores in quarter three, and now it has come down. It has come to in quarter two, and which is now around 9.5 crores in quarter four, three rather. So this is more towards stabilizing, and the employees, the cost has been incurred more towards the research thing as well. So going forward, we will not see much volatility or variation in this. This would be more towards stabilizing as such.
Okay. And my second question is on the onco revenues. In the third quarter, you mentioned 31 crores, out of which 19 is export and 12 is domestic. Now that the MAs are kicked in and the ramp-up can happen, can we expect like a quarter-on-quarter increase every quarter for the next 4-5 quarters in oncology revenue?
Yeah, oncology, if you see, almost we have doubled the sale of what we have achieved last year. And we have already crossed the overall marks what we achieved in quarter three of the last year total revenue. So this is quite evident that oncology is driving the overall revenue growth. So what we are seeing, it is more than around 60% plus growth what we can expect maybe year-on-year basis. And thereby the quarter-on-quarter, maybe initially you can see a major growth, but average what we can look forward to is around 60%-70% growth year-on-year.
60% growth for the full year or
For the next year I'm talking about.
Sir, do you mean FY27? 60% growth?
Yeah, right.
And 60% growth in oncology, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, understood. Great. I have more questions, but I'll join the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. A request to all participants, please restrict your questions to two per participant. For more questions, please rejoin the queue. The next question comes from the line of Hitaindra Pradhan from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is related to the, you know, our MAs that are pending for approval in the Western Europe market, like the, you know, the big four countries. So if I understand, sir, for imatinib, we have centralized approval. But for, you know, the Eastern, Western markets, we are doing country-specific dossiers and MAs, right? So what are the timelines and, you know, how soon we can expect them to be approved?
Normal, standard timeline is 210 working days for Europe for approval of any dossier. Considering that we do not have any queries, once the query pops up, then there is a stop clock and accordingly it gets carried forward. Now coming to your Western Europe or Eastern Europe or inter-European dossier approval, it depends upon if you go for a decentralized procedure, it does not matter because you can move from one country to another country with the same registration. So currently we have already received 5 marketing authorizations from the EU region and 1 from inter-Europe extra. That is total 6. Now, considering that we are currently having submitted another 18-19 dossiers in across Europe, so these are about to come up, and these will add up to the overall PP of marketing authorizations within the next financial year.
Okay, sir. Okay. So for Western Europe, you are saying that, you know, there are country specific. MS are, you know, basically there are mix of centralized as well as, you know, country-specific MS, right? And
the movement is like that. If you registered any products in any part of EU countries, you can move into the other countries with a simple process. So that does not take so long time. So it is basically accessibility to the entire EU market. So it is material where you are applying for. It is very relevant where you are getting the slot to apply, basically.
Got it. Got it.
Because getting a slot to apply for the EMAs is basically the challenge in Europe presently. Because we have already the EU dossiers ready, which is already 5 of them approved in within the EU. So you can understand the standard is already there with us in terms of dossiers for the Euro. But important thing is that getting the slots to get it approved, which we have already done. We have 19 submitted and along with the another 5 which you have already seen. So these are going to come within next 1 year time.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. And sir, on the guidance part, we previously guided that, you know, we'll be doing 280 crore for FY26. So that means like we need to do 100 crore in Q4. So are we, sir, you know, in line to achieve that in Q4?
Yeah, we are very much on the track. And presently the order book is showing that we'll be landing something around 30% plus, 40% plus growth over last year, the total figure. This is what the order book is currently showing, and it can be added up with other orders as well with the current promising growth that oncology is showing. But having said that, we always work in the advance payment for the international market. So in that case, unless we get the realization of payment, we do not dispatch the products. So that is one thing. But however, having said that, we are already on track. We are seeing more than 40% growth year over year for FY26.
Okay, sir. And sir, why the tax rate was low this...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Pradhan. We request...
Yeah, I will join that. Yeah.
Yes, thank
yeah,
you.
I will.
The next question comes from the line of Ishich Desai from Foods Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on a very good set of numbers. Sir, my question is on the technology transfer projects which you have mentioned in your press release with the 5 large pharmaceutical companies. Sir, generally what we understand is with these technology transfer projects specific to products, we also have some visibility. These are relatively longer term arrangements, and we also have some visibility on the scale up, the revenue part on the product side. So if you could help us understand how each of these accounts, or maybe collectively, you're looking from a ramp-up perspective in the current financial year as well as FY27 and beyond, what kind of revenue potential in terms of pipeline we are looking at. So if you could elaborate on that part a little more, that would be helpful.
The first of all, the technology transfer itself means there are companies already committed with the principal, because we will be as a supplier, unless they are committed with our supplies, they will never come to us. That is the number one point. The second thing what I would like to say, the potential is quite good in terms of Accord Interest dominating the oncology market in Europe. Now, obviously, they will be getting supplies from us, but it will be how they will be taking the product to the market will be important. But the portfolio shows quite promising, and maybe it's around 50 to 100 crore that can be the potential of these products, what we are currently managing. So it is very difficult to right now comment on that, but it's a huge potential for Sakar to supply Accord brands.
So you think these individual products can be 50 to 100 crore, right? Just to clarify.
No, it's the total portfolio of currently given 10 products. But you can understand oncology, again, there are multiple products. We can move up to 30, 35, 40 products even, which Accord is currently managing. So the portfolio can increase, individual product, depending upon the indication, can their value can increase. Dependency of Accord in terms of products in the market can increase. So there are a number of factors in that. But that's why I've given you a wide range. It can range from 50 CR to 100 CR. With the portfolio currently what we are managing.
And the same is the...
And once the cycle ends, it will be easier for me to narrow down those figures.
Understood. And the same, I mean, fair to assume that Accord Indus will be the largest one and the others will then gradually come down. The 4 companies, Torrent, UK, Germany, MQR, Glenmark and Zydus.
No, we have other balance supports from Zydus as well, who are having the products. Then we have, as you rightly mentioned, Torrent is there, Glenmark is there, we are working with MQR as well. So number of Indian players, number of players who are big names with oncology from India are there. Apart from that, we are already from the beginning of our operation working with around 12 to 13 local partners who operate locally in India. So all put together, it will be around 18 to 20 partners whom we are already supplying this.
Sure. So on the second question side, sir,
sorry.
You mentioned about.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Desai. We request you to return the questions for the follow-up.
I just asked one, but no worries. I'll come back.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vedant Nilekar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Congrats to the management for a great set of numbers. My first question is on the CapEx. So for Q3, how much of the CapEx have we done? And what would be the figure for FY26 and FY27 as well? Because most of our CapEx for onco and rest of the things has been done. So what is done in Q3? What would be the closing figure for FY26? And what will be the maintenance CapEx for FY27?
As regards the CapEx for FY26, around 39 crores is the CapEx that has been done till 9 months now. And going forward for FY27, we do not see any major CapEx happening. The capacity, whatever we had planned, is in place. So this is probably the major CapEx that has happened this financial year. For going forward, we do not see any major CapEx happening.
What would be the figure for the maintenance CapEx?
The maintenance figure is the quarter-wise, if I say the quarter basis, it is around 65 lakhs is towards the repairs and maintenance that has gone in quarter three. And the similar number was in quarter two. So we can expect that somewhere on these lines, the repair and maintenance would be happening for the existing plant in Changodar.
Okay. Got it. And my second question is on the presentation that was sent out by the company. Can the management please help us? So because I'm relatively new to the company, on slide number 19 of the presentation, how should we read the table on the right? And how can we connect it to the commercialization figures or timelines for that matter?
Yeah. This is basically on the right-hand side you are talking about the chart.
Yes. The product CS number specification.
Right. So basically, that chart is depicting the API is what we have developed, and which shows that we have 21 total APIs which we have developed because the APIs are assigned a CAS number, so it is written there. And once we have the APIs developed, it has to be particularly specification in terms of European guidelines or Indian guidelines or US guidelines. So that is the specification part. In the CEP part, we need to have basically the authentication in terms of documentation. So it gives the total visibility in terms of the API. So that is called the CEP. So for which we have already submitted four, if you see on the top line. So out of that, we are expecting one, which is in the advanced stage of approval. So that also will come. And I will come to this part later on. Written confirmation allows us to send these products to the European market for the research and development purpose. And for this, we have all the documentation ready with us, which is the Drug Master File, DMF. Now, coming to the CEP part, the advantage is that we can then integrate with our individual products what we have developed. And that backward integration will help us in terms of timely supply, more economical or commercially more viable in the market. So that is the part which we are currently developing, the CEP, which is required particularly for the regulated market supplies. Presently, our dossiers or our supplies do not have our APIs, so we will include those APIs for international market once the CEP approval comes up.
So this will help us in the backward integration furthermore?
Absolutely.
Okay, got it. I have more questions, but I'll get back to you. Thank you.
Yeah, and that will automatically help in improving the margins.
Thank you. A request to all participants, please restrict your questions to two per participants. For more questions, please rejoin the queue. The next question comes from the line of Saurav Gupta from Financially Free. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Audible?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for the great set of numbers. So sir, my question is that this quarter we have provided a lower tax if we see YOY and QOQ. So what could be the reason about it, and what can we expect going forward, the normal tax rate for the company?
So as regards this, the back credit that is available at this point in time, due to which the taxes are getting knocked off against the back credit. So whatever the provision that you are seeing, that is more towards the deferred tax provisions. And probably after the end of FY27, we would be coming into the normal tax lapse. So until then, the numbers on with regards to the provision for taxes would be comparatively lower.
Okay, so in FY25, we have given around 19% tax. So can we expect lower, I think around lower teens for FY26 and similar for FY27?
In lines, yes. Almost in lines with FY25, around 18% to 19%, yes.
For FY26 and 27?
Yeah.
And for beyond FY27, normal?
That would be the normal tax rates that would be applicable, because the MAT credit would be fully utilized by then. So then would be coming back to the normal tax rates.
After FY27, around 25-26%. Is my understanding correct?
Around 25%.
Okay, got it, sir. And second question that I have, that in last con call, we have mentioned that we got 6 approval in European Union, 5 in Bulgaria and 1 in Bosnia. So how the commercialization ramping over there?
Yeah, last time also I told you, because there is one important thing is that for the first supply, we need to get prepared with certain things. And particularly for the European supply, we need to have a few things which includes serialization of the products, then sequencing of the, artwork of the products. And thereby the commercial orders has to be in pipeline for logistics so that it can be supplied. So we have already received the orders, POs, and currently the manufacturing has been scheduled, and we will be maybe dispatching either in May or maybe in April, depending upon the whether setup is ready for us. And this is for the first time, as I told you, because there is a normally a threshold of 90 days to 150 days for the supply. But once it is done, the next supply onwards, this infrastructure once gets ready, it does not cause any problem.
So is it for Bulgaria or for other countries as well? If we see that for Bulgaria, it will take around 3 to 5 months. And for example, for Bosnia, it will take again 4 to 5 months, or it will take only 3 months?
So for Bosnia, it will be around 3-4 months, because the complexity is little bit less, but it comes under Europe as well. So the thing is that it may be, that's why again 90 days to 150 days, maybe someone will take 140 days, someone will take 120 days. So it does not depend always on our hand, because as I told you, the partner will be arranging for all the logistics and all. And this is for the first time. So that is the reason. But otherwise, from next order onwards, the lead time normally for us is around 75 to 90 days.
Okay. Got it. So the commercialization will start from Q1 FY27.
Latest.
Yeah. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aditya Mutha from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
Sir,
when you say you have 9 molecules will convert, does that mean we'll get MA approval or commercial supplies?
9 or 11 already we have the MA approvals.
I was talking about the tech transfer, which you told in the call, imatinib is...
Yeah, right. So, yes. So there, that will be 10. 10 molecules.
And so does that mean MA approval or commercial supplies in next 2-3 quarters?
They have the MAs already with them.
Achha.
Okay. So it is basically the technology is getting transferred at our unit. So our manufacturing units get added up, and we can now supply to their marketing authorizations. So it is an immediate turnaround time. If you see, we have already got the approval for inclusion for site within a few days even. So that gives us the encouragement that the rest of the products are also getting lined up or queued up for approval. Already, the second one has already been approved. Now, coming back to your point is automatically, once it is approved, they can now arrange for the supplies accordingly. So that is in the queue only. So now they are arranging for the logistics.
Okay. Got it, sir. Got it. And my another question was on for imatinib supplies to Accord. Sir, do we have any firm purchase commitment or rolling order visibility for next two, three quarters? Well, how does the agreement works out for us?
So normally, agreement have a business forecast in that, which shows that they have a minimum commitment in terms of batch sizes and in terms of minimum value so that we can it becomes visible. And normally, what happens in the first consignment, people used to go with a lesser quantity, considering that this is the first one, so everything goes right. So from the second onwards, they normally gives the actual quantity, which is our batch size of roughly around 100 to 200, around 300,000 units.
Okay, so basically, this is a rolling order which we'll get, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And this will be maybe a bi-monthly order based on their already established product in the European Union.
And the supplies have started?
This will start from March end onwards. We are expecting the supply.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue, sir. Thank you. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pratik Dugar from Intelsense. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to ask, sir, we are a very TKI-focused-based player, I think. And because when I look at the dossiers, a lot of TKIs are there in the dossiers. I wanted to ask, sir, there is another, I think, Indian pharma player who is also very much focused into TKIs, and they have seen a meaningful revenue uptake in the EU. So what is our plans with TKIs in the EU?
Can you come again?
Sir, I was asking that we are a very like the tyrosine kinase inhibitors, TKIs, in our dossiers. It's a big list there. And I was asking that there is another TKI-based player in India. They are seeing meaningful revenue traction in the EU. So from that perspective, if you can give us an idea, is there a meaningful demand of TKIs in the EU? Are you seeing that for yourself?
What is that specific term you are using?
Sir, the tyrosine kinase inhibitors, all the TNIBs, imatinib, gefitinib, these are all the.
Okay. I got your point. So you can understand we have the entire range or basket in our portfolio along with the dossiers and bioequivalence studies which has been conducted in the last 6 to 9 months' time. So primarily, you have to be prepared with so updated information. That is more important. Now, in order to confront with the competition in the market, because in Europe, if you see, there are both multinational competitors as well as our Indian competitors who are there in the market. So in order to do that, the best possible is that you have to identify the right partner in the right place within Europe who can take it forward because we are not directly going into the market. So there lies the partnership which we are currently in the process of building. And if you see, we have already concluded around 50-plus agreements overall with oncology, out of which, if you see the European part, we have already completed more than 20. So within Europe, we are already partnered with the key players who can take these products in the market. So that is the key here because they have their own strengths in respective territories, out of which, for example, I'm just telling you, out of which we have the partnership with Torrent UK. We have partnership with Heumann in Germany as well. So they are the market leaders in particular products in the respective markets. So this gives us the additional edge over the competition who are coming from India and going to establish the product in the market.
Okay. And sir, I also noticed that we are having oral suspension formats. Are there any other players who are also there in oral suspension, or is this a niche with us?
This is a niche product which we have developed in a sequence of 12. So most importantly, maybe in India, a few of the players are there who are ready with one or two. And we have the entire basket, and we are in negotiations with multiple partners with this product range, because we do not want to play with one or two. We want to move ahead with a full basket of 10 to 12 products which we have developed. So this is a unique feature we presently hold, and which our competitors are not having.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, the 60-70% growth that you are talking about for next year, so let's say if we end this year with 270-280 crore kind of revenue, so is the 60-70% growth is on that base for the entire company? Or
it is with the oncology products. It's
okay.
With the oncology products.
Okay, so we should expect like 110-120 crore kind of full year's revenue for oncology, and on that we'll have 60-70% growth, right?
Yeah, growth percentage I can estimate. Rest you can calculate.
Sure. And sir, on the margins part, that this year, given how the oncology scaled up significantly in this quarter, we saw 26% kind of EBITDA margins. So when an oncology scales up further in the coming quarters, how should we look at the EBITDA margins for the company?
A precise number would be difficult at this point in time. But yes,
yeah,
the margins would be way better compared to the margins that we have right now. So when
Okay.
we had conceptualized oncology, so we were expecting an EBITDA margin somewhere around 30%. So that is the target we would be trying to achieve.
Okay. So on a combined basis, we should be looking at
Yeah.
30%
Yeah.
kind of margins. Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Hitaindra Pradhan from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, just wanted to, confirm something. Like you mentioned that imatinib, the market opportunity of 200-250 crore in the EU market.
No, I have not mentioned. Somebody has told. I told,
Yeah,
that is the market size.
okay. And sir, what is the like revenue and margin profile for this? Because this is something where we are, selling it under the Accord brand name and using the distribution, right? So what is the like, revenue and, the margin profile you can hint us for imatinib?
See, currently we are doing the business with all the players, and that is giving us an EBITDA of around 25% margin. So you can understand this will be ranging between 24-26% only.
Okay, 25% only. Okay, sir. Okay, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ishit Desai from Fort Family Office. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up opportunity, sir. Most of the questions answered, just one additional one. Sir, was there any revenue from imatinib supply in Q3 to Accord Indus? If so, will it be possible to quantify the number for Q3?
As I told, this for this tech transfer imatinib Accord Indus, it will start end March.
Understood. Understood.
For this tech transfer product, it will start from there only. This I have already mentioned earlier.
Understood. No, I got just confused between the new
one. Oh, no, sorry.
No problem. Got approved. Yeah. Fair to assume that most of the tech transfer revenues then should start accruing from FY 2027, and beyond imatinib also, we should have at least one or two more molecules which will start contributing to that.
Yeah, absolutely. From those basket of 10, it will start complement for the tech transfer project. It will be there only from there on.
Understood. Thank you.
The second one already has been approved, that I have already told. So you can understand that one by one, this will come up. And what we can foresee, it will come within the first or maximum second quarter of next financial year. So the commercials are expected from these products for all the products, almost all the products by next year, next financial year.
Understood, sir. And what within these 10 molecules, what would be the mix of OST and injectable, if you could help us understand?
It's almost balanced. It's almost balanced. 5 and 5.
Understood. Thank you. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Avnish Varman from Vaikarya. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking the follow-up. Vikramji, I had the impression that the oncology revenues for FY26 would end somewhere around 100 crores and would ramp up to somewhere around 200 crores in FY27, which is not tying up with the 60% growth in onco that you are mentioning. So where am I getting this wrong?
See, this is the bare minimum growth percentages what we I am expecting, or we are expecting rather. Considering that certain things are not in our hand in terms of regulatory approvals, because as I told you, the equation stands as such that we have 100 plus submissions of marketing authorizations right now, which we expect within next 12 months. So now these will gear up the sale, what you are telling or what we have discussed earlier, it will be over, it will be, means we can overshoot that number. Now the thing is that along with that, we have another 200 dossiers which are lying in different countries right now with our partners, which are to be submitted. So if you see that built up is like that, so that we can cross that number of magic number of 200 in the next year. But having said that, the number what we are seeing right now in terms of the approvals we have in hand of the tech transfer projects we have in, the 60% plus growth is means what we can see at present for the next financial year.
And 60% growth over what base in, I mean, where are you?
Over the current year, which we are almost expecting around 30% growth over the last year.
30% growth, okay, understood. Okay, the second question is on the CAPEX side. You mentioned that the 9-month CAPEX is 39 crores. I think the first half CAPEX was 27 crores. Just wanted some color on where incremental CAPEX is being spent, because the maintenance CAPEX seems to be like a very small number.
So the balance CAPEX, the 9 crore CAPEX that has happened in the last quarter is towards the plant and machinery that has been set up as per the revised requirements or the updations of the capacities. So that has gone towards the plant and machinery setups and the utilities.
Okay, so on these, is the incremental CAPEX over and now we can only expect to incur the maintenance CAPEX, or there is some more plant and machinery CAPEX also?
No, this is the setup, whatever we had planned is now fully set up. So we do not foresee any further CAPEX towards that.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for joining this con call. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Sakar Healthcare Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.